I want to talk about a group of people getting together now. Do you think of your community as being age-friendly? Are our buildings, our streets, local events suitable for you? Or do you think more could be done? Maybe you've got parents and you're looking for things to entertain them, and you have to think twice because the provision of services is just not adequate enough. A group of local residents have formed a new alliance to shine a light on issues facing older people in our community. One of them is geriatrician Dr. John Ward, who joins me now. Good afternoon, John. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Paul.
So where did the, what's the genesis for this, you know, this alliance that you put together?
Well, it started with four of us, I guess, all of whom have worked for a long time in the area of ageing, and some in sort of aged care. They include Viv Allinson, the CEO of Moroba, Catherine Henry, who's the principal of the major elder law firm in Newcastle, and Professor Julie Biles, who heads the Research Centre on Intergenerational Health and Ageing at the University of HMRI. And of course, I've been a geriatrician for many years. And I guess we were all concerned that nothing was very much moving forward in the area of ageing and aged care. I mean, we've all seen what the Royal Commission's exposed, and I guess none of us are terribly optimistic about what's going to come out of it, but we're not just interested in people at the end of their life. We're interested in the capacity of people to live a healthy older age as they move into those years. And noting that pretty soon we're going to have about 25% of our population over the age of 65.
Is that the point, the line in the sand, 65? Are we aged beyond that?
Oh, I don't think so. That's really perhaps a bit outdated now, but you can talk about 70 or 75. But, you know, the fastest growing group in our community are the people over 80. They're going to almost double in the next 20 years. And we're concerned about a lot of aspects to it. You know, the number of women that are becoming homeless in their older age. We're concerned about people who are living socially isolated lives and the amount of depression and loneliness involved there. But particularly the vulnerability of those people and the extreme heat events that we're going to get in the future. But as you mentioned in your intro, we're interested in the environment and, of course, the housing options that are available for older people. No one wants to wind up in residential aged care, but, you know, there's very little alternative to that at the moment. And if you want to go to a retirement village, you usually wind up on the outskirts of some city, whereas people's social network, of course, is where they've grown up and lived.
John, is it a matter of the whole community having a responsibility to be more embracing, more welcoming, more engaging with older people?
Well, I think so. When you think about the number of older people and the fact that people now, we used to talk about three stages of life, it's now really four stages, because beyond the age of about 70, then women have at least 20 years to go and men getting very close to that. So you really, once you've hit 65, you've got another quarter of your life to go. Perhaps 70, you've got another quarter of your life to go. So it's not a time, you know, people tend to think that at some point you almost go through an initiation or a bar mitzvah and you turn from a normal adult into an older person. It doesn't work that way. I mean, older people are just the same as younger people, with a few more wrinkles perhaps, but they still have the same interest in remaining socially active and intellectually active and physically active. But the community really isn't set up for that. They're expecting that, you know, once you retire and get older, you know, to sort of lose your interest in a lot of activities. But that isn't the way it works. People still retain all of their interests or most of their interests, and they want the opportunity to express those.
John, how do you think, or how will the alliance help? What sort of things will you be involved in?
Well, we've talked to all levels of government, to many of the NGOs, the churches, the police, the health system, and we want to now start to work on about eight different strategy areas, and we have people who are interested to lead those strategy areas and other people who are interested to join it. So we're asking older people who have an interest in doing some work in this area to join us. We'll have a consumer support group. We're organising a webinar in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We'll then have a public meeting after that, and then the work will be done mostly through these sort of strategic interest areas on things like elder abuse, housing options, health care, end-of-life care, social isolation and loneliness, and the environment.
I notice on your website there is a tab called Get Involved, so you're welcoming all members of the community, the participation from them.
Yes, we're asking people just to sign this pledge, which doesn't commit them to anything more than saying they support the vision of the group and they want to commit themselves to working towards an age-friendly city in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie. And we're hoping eventually we can join the United Nations Global Network on Age-Friendly Cities and Communities, that we can become part of that. And we'd like, obviously, being the hunter, we want to be the leader. So we'd like to eventually sort of be a showcase.
Have we kind of lost it here, John? Do you reckon we reflect on some cultures, how embracing they are and respectful of older members of their family? We've lost that in our extended families a little here, haven't we?
Well, sort of everything in our community tends to be economically oriented. And so we have tended to lose those. I think I can understand that way. You know, families move away, they get scattered across Australia, across the world. But perhaps people are starting to rethink that. But we think there's even some economic advantages in becoming an age-friendly city. If we could make this city a place that older people wanted to live in and older tourists wanted to come and see, there's a lot of money in that. But of course, the big growth area is probably service industries and a lot of those around aged care. And we have the TAFE system where we could train people who are needed in those service industries. I mean, we know that something like 100,000 people waiting out there for a package who've been delegated through the My Aged Care system for a community package and are waiting on it. And the only obstacle to that is largely the workforce deficiency. But we have the TAFE system here where we could start to train that workforce. So all the sort of planets come into alignment in the Hunter. We think there's some major economic advantages in making an age-friendly city.
John, good to hear from you. We'll talk more, obviously. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Dr. John Ward, geriatrician, talking about a new alliance which is designed. It's called the Hunter Aging Alliance, designed to look at some of the social and broader community problems of growing older in this region and how people can be assisted. It's 4 to 5. This is ABC Newcastle.